iOS 16 came out today. WatchOS 9 came out. The iPhone 14 has been announced. We talk a little bit about these things. We talked about some recent photos, and I do believe Dave may very well have taken his best photo ever. All this and more coming up on the iPhonography Podcast. It's Monday, September 12th, and this is Greg McMillan with you, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Dave Podner. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Greg. How's it going tonight?
It's going not too bad. It was a little wet today, but it sure dried up real quick. So we had our, I guess, one day of rain for the past month.
Ooh, that's not good.
Seems like it anyway.
Yeah.
But, okay, so it's been a busy, busy time in the iPhonography space, especially with the new iPhones coming out. But before we get to that, we'll just talk about a couple of quick things here. I just wanted to kind of mention again that there still seems to be an exodus from Instagram of photographers going to places like Glass and Vero. Like, I'm seeing new, well, not new, but I mean, familiar faces pop up in both of those places. And it's still, you know, I'm still seeing YouTube videos and everything else about people who are just getting so frustrated and mad anyway, about Instagram. And have you noticed anything like that, Dave? Or I think you've been kind of busy lately, so maybe not.
Well, but one thing I have noticed, and this may be pushing on the back end, if you will, not necessarily photographers leaving Instagram, but people from TikTok moving from TikTok to Instagram
for reels.
Yeah. Just because TikTok has a very weird and somewhat draconian censorship policy. Even if you're talking about things educationally of an adult nature, or news that may be of an adult nature, you know, you have to hide what you're saying. Like in the recent people talking about like the Roe, not getting political in one area or another, but as an example, when Roe v. Wade got overturned in the U.S., people on TikTok could not say abortion because it was almost an automatic takedown.
Oh, really?
So they had to make a mispronunciation and actually, and this is a nice part of TikTok, is they do the automatic automatic typing. So can read the text, but they go in and they replace the O with a crossed out zero.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that way the automatic filter won't catch it, you know, or there's people, and these are people who are on TikTok with hundreds of thousands of followers and millions and millions of likes for their video. And they're saying, we like what we're doing. We want to give this information to people. We want to give our content, or we want to do this. And it's like, we're getting taken down for no good reason because of community access.
So, yeah. And meanwhile, they're just trying to be educational about something.
Yeah. And so they're saying, follow me. You can't even say follow me on Instagram, because if you do that, you may get banned.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Or not necessarily, but you may get shat. I can't, but you can look. People say, hey, I looked at my views. My views went from 50,000 down to 300 after I did this thing. So,
because if you say follow me on Instagram, TikTok's going to pick that up and they're going to say, whoa, not really. not on my watch.
Exactly. So they'll say, hey, follow me on the Square Camera app. Or look at the link that's in my bio to find out where else you can follow me.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are saying, hey, I want to do short video. So they're pushing it to Instagram or YouTube Reels. Mm-hmm. So I can see if you have this influx of people doing Reels, which Instagram wants, coming over from TikTok, and they may want that because they want to, you know, that's their competition. They see it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, hey, we have influx of people coming in. We have influx of what we want, and it's influx of video, which gets people to stay on our site longer than looking at a picture when you look at a minute long video. Therefore, we want that versus these photographers that have been here for and not giving us growth.
Yeah. So there's a two-way shift. There's the shift from photographers leaving Instagram, but yet video makers are going from TikTok over to Instagram. Mm-hmm. So Instagram, they're just, like you say, they don't care. They're just lapping it all up.
Because everything, and this is aggravating, but all businesses want growth.
Yeah.
So they don't care what your numbers are. If your numbers are good then and your numbers are good now, that's flat growth. But if all of a sudden you're getting new people, that's growth. Mm-hmm. And investors, and I don't even think it's the people at Instagram or people at Facebook. It's because the money's coming from the investors who are the real oversight. And they're like, we want to see growth.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram's like, we already have 1 billion or 2 billion users. We're running out of people on the planet.
Yeah. And the thing about it too, is that photographers, a lot of them aren't leaving Instagram. They're just not posting there as much.
Right.
Because they're not getting, their pictures seen, right? I've seen so many where they're saying, yeah, we're going to leave my account open. But I'm just not going to post there as much. And it's not like Instagram's losing that much, but they seem to be gaining a lot from TikTok then.
Yeah.
And
I know two local photographers who half are just saying, I'm posting in my story. And their story is, hey, I have a new post. Because they've come out in their story and say, my reach is, and these are people doing this for a living.
Yeah.
My reach is down significantly from what it was last year. So it's a tenth of what it was. They may be going from normally having 3, 4, 5 thousands of likes down to in the low hundreds or under 100 for the same type of post. You're like, I don't know what happened. It's the same type of post. They're not doing anything outlandish or unusual. They're doing their normal low. And it just, the algorithm's pushing them out.
Yep. that's what it is.
Yeah.
A lot of photographers are in it for the business, right? Yeah. And that's why they have Instagram accounts. So, I mean, they've had to, shift their perspective of how they do that because, there's a lot of them that are making reels to boost their photography business. And at the same time, again, there's a lot of them that are ticked off with everything and don't want to post there as much anymore. So
which I understand.
It's just and that's the thing too, is places like Glass and Vero are not places where you can grow a business, in at least not that I've seen. Certainly not Glass, because it's just looking at sharing and looking at photos, and
plus
it's a wonderful experience.
It's really a paid only at this point. You can post stuff on Glass, but in terms of getting your feet started, it's as a photographer, you have to pay to get in.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you're trying to get a mass market of people, or someone who may happen upon your photos and want to check out more, Instagram's still the 2,000 pound gorilla in the room.
Oh yeah. And there's Flickr and it's to be any good, I guess. I mean, if you don't want ads, you have to pay for that, but it's almost twice as much as Glass. I have a Flickr account, but I haven't posted there in ages because I'm paying for Glass and I'm going to, make it my worthwhile place to go. But with Vero, Vero is more like a social network where you can not only post photos, but you can post links and, active links work in comments, not like, unlike Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, Vero is growing too. Like it's hitting the limelight again. And I went back and listened to that episode of Tiny Shutter where I introduced it to everybody. It wasn't new then, but this was back in 2018. And Verrill came out in 2015. And, you know, back then I said, you know, I'm just going to give it a shot, you know, see how it goes and all this stuff. And I even went so far as to say, I don't think it's going to last 6 months. But here it is again with a new resurgence because of Instagram. I mean, it kind of exploded a little bit back then in 2018 because of stuff that Instagram was doing. And here we are again talking about Verrill. And I mean, I'm liking it too. I like both Glass and Verrill. They're both similar in the fact that there's no algorithms and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just a nice experience on both platforms. So it's far from what I've been getting out of Instagram lately. So, but, you know, that we'll just continue to kind of monitor the situation and see how it goes. But, you know, again, I'm still on Instagram, just not posting there nearly as much as I was. And, you know, we'll just see what happens. The one thing that bugs me about Instagram is that I get notifications about so-and-so and so-and-so just posted new reels. Sorry, I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't want to turn off notifications altogether because if somebody sends me a private message on there, I want to be able to get it. So it's, you know, it's annoying, but it is what it is. The other thing I wanted to mention was, there's a blog that I've been subscribed to recently, and it's called My Photo Year. And I believe it's by a chap in the UK by the name of Kyan. I don't know what his last name is. I don't think he puts his last name out there. But I'm following him on Twitter, and he's on Glass, and I'm not sure if he's on Verrill. I'll have to look him up there. But it's a really interesting blog. It's mostly iPhone centric. He started it when he bought his 13 Pro, I think, and he puts a lot of good articles on there. So it's well worth checking out. There'll be a link in the show notes to it, but it's just myphotoyear.com. And his most recent article is it's called Time to Go Pro. The iPhone 14 Pro and Pro Max are here. So he talks about you know, the phones and what they have in them and all this stuff. And you know, he did a story about Pixelmator Photo going subscription. Is anyone surprised? He did a story about Glass a while ago. So he does a lot of things with iPhone stuff, like different apps and, you know, even editing on the desktop. He talks about Capture One. Well, actually that one's for iPad, but you know, he did one about the Darkroom 6 update. He did a review on that. So go give it a look. It's a really good blog, and I'm sure you'll find something interesting there. So again, link in the show notes. It's called myphotoyear.com. So you wanted to mention something before we jump into the new iOS and iPhones, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, a little last minute inspiration. Actually, this has happened tonight. And because of circumstances, my mother-in-law passed recently. I've still been trying to take photos, mostly for sanity reasons.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just therapy. Exactly. But, you know, I'm just doing stuff around the house tonight and let the dogs out and just checking Facebook. And one of my friends is a photographer, posted photos of the sunset tonight. Now, I didn't get it. And this was, let me actually see here. Let me be exact. Okay, yeah, it was a little after 8. So, you know, sunset's getting sooner and sooner these days. We all know that. It's, you know, nothing unexpected, not wanted, but not unexpected. So he posted those photos, and I'm like, wow, those, and he took some amazing shots. And I was like, wow, that looks really good. And I'm like, well, I'll run outside and see what it looks like. And of course, this is the advantage of mobile photography, iPhone or Android, both, that it was like, okay, you know, especially a sunset where if you wait 5-10 minutes, it's too late.
Oh, exactly. I've had that problem so many times.
So it's kind of like, well, I went out the back door. We have a hill in the backyard. If I go to the top of the hill, I can look over my house to the west and see, you know, get a nice horizon going on with some trees in silhouette. And went up there, and there was a giant cloud bank, except for a giant little sliver of sky. And it was dark enough that the phone went into night mode.
Oh, really?
For pictures, yeah. So, but it was handheld. So went up, handheld on top of the hill, took a couple shots because it was a little shaky the first couple times. And got back in, looked at the photos, and was like, it's good, but, and I love doing the 16 by 9 shots, the widescreen shots, especially for like sunset pics. But it just, I looked at it, I was like, I just remember it being a little more vibrant, hit polar a little bit, and did the edit and boosted the color a little bit and did a little bit with the cloud and posted it. But it's that, you know, I wasn't planning on taking a sunset photo. I didn't think the sunset was going to be good tonight, one way or the other, you know, in terms of vibrant or interesting photo. And it was just a matter of, oh, that's interesting. Let me run out and let me try this out. So, you know, just finding last minute inspirations or inspirations just kind of hit you.
Yeah.
And again, that's kind of the advantage of mobile photography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially when you have like I have 13 Pro Max, if it's a little dark, I'm not where I were with my 10. It would have been, especially with my the 6S Plus. If it was this dark with the 6S Plus, the photo.
No, that's right.
Just not getting a photo.
Yeah.
But I think the 12 would work too, but or even maybe the 10, maybe even the 11. Going out, I was like, oh, okay, here's an opportunity for a photo because I got inspiration off of someone else's photo.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, though, if I had to, oh, I got to get my camera, I got to go outside, I'm going to have to set, I have to use like a regular DSLR, you may say, well, it's dark, I should probably use a tripod, or I don't know if it's going to get that great of a shot. Or can you take the photo and you're like, okay, I have to go in, I have to download it, I have to throw it in Lightroom or whatever, you know, Photoshop to color correct it, do with this. Knowing that what this guy does, like I said, he does do portrait photography for a living on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So I guarantee you that's what he did. Looking at the photo, he did not use a mobile camera. He used a full-blown camera because he has one for his, you know, for his portrait photos.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he probably went in, don't know if it's a Mac or PC, went in, edited it here, made some changes here, just kind of boosted it up. But if you're not someone's used to doing that and you see an interesting shot, again, I used his photos as a springboard and inspiration for my own.
Yeah. And that's last minute inspiration, but it's also, and that's the good thing about mobile photography, but that's also the good thing about social media. That's one of the positives of social media.
There is a positive, believe it or not.
You saw that image and you thought, hey, I could do that right now. And then you ran out in the backyard and you did it and you edited it and posted and everything else, probably all within, I'm just guessing, but maybe 20 minutes.
Probably half less, an hour. And I think even less.
But like you say, if you had a DSLR, you would have missed the shot because you would have had to set the tripod up, get the settings, all that stuff. And yeah, that's you know, that's one of the things I love about this whole mobile space. You know, photography and the abilities that come with the phones. It's crazy. So I mean, hey folks, if you are looking on social media and you see something inspiring and you look at that and you say, hey, I could do that right now, go for it. Go ahead and do it. Dave's pitcher is pretty cool. He boosted the blues and the oranges in that little strip of sky, and it looks really cool. And it's always worth a shot, and you're not going to get the shot unless you take the shot. So, thanks for that advice, Dave. No problem. Yeah. So now we're going to talk about iOS 16 that came out today. We don't have to go on too much about it because it's been in the news a fair bit over the last little while. But I've been on the beta since July. But Dave, you got the update today, and initial thoughts on things like the lock screen and stuff.
Yeah, well, I will let everyone know that the update for me went pretty quick. Of course, like I say, I only have a year old phone, so that should be expected, and smoothly. So I don't think anything crashed. Thing to remember is after you update the iOS, go to your app store and force an update on your apps. Because all the new wonderful stuff that's included, like the home screen, the lock screen widgets, mm-hmm. you won't get them unless you update the app. And the app won't update until you update iOS.
Yeah.
So if you really want to try it out, you don't want to wait for it to do the automatic update. You know, click on the app store, click on your profile pic, pull down, let it refresh and then do update all. I think I had like 30 updates for apps I had. So. Yeah. Now for the lock screen, I did like the customization. I think I'm going to be using the weather one just because it's
just darn neat, cool.
Yeah. And I do like having the weather there, and I have my alarm on, an upcoming alarm, and something that helps out, because Facebook has widgets. They will tell you if have any birthdays on that day for Facebook friends.
Oh, okay.
So because the way the mobile app worked, it doesn't always give you the updates. You know, sometimes you have to hunt. And, there are people that I'm friends with. I'm not close friends with. But, there's someone who I would say, have a happy birthday to.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone has so much stuff going on. It's hard to keep track of, people like literally birthdays that I know off heart. Like my dad. Ruth. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Ruth knows her brother's birthdays. I know her one because it's on Veterans Day. Makes it easy. Like Ruth's birthday is on Flag Day. Of course, I would always remember that. Always remember your spouse's birthday.
Right.
So even if it wasn't on a holiday, I would know that. But, it's just like, everyone has so much stuff going on. You have to, in my mind, to keep everything straight, you're like, okay, that stuff's important, but I want to have something else remember it for me. Kind of like how no one remembers anyone's phone numbers anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have that on my lock screen, and I have a couple different lock screens, which I tried to do. I have one where it's the astronomy with the, picture of the Earth with the little dot there.
Yeah.
I have the photos one I set up, which I misunderstood what it was. So I thought the photos one was going to be one where it gives you like a slideshow in the background. Instead of, it changes every time you unlock it.
Yeah, or tap it, or every hour, right. Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
right, or every day. I thought it was we're just going to give you a five second image and then move on to the next one type thing.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
So
I think that would probably be a little, taxing on the battery.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why I was a little confused on that. But the new, like I said, the fact that the search is on the main screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can still pull down from the middle and get your search, but you can just click the search there and get the same thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Less things hidden are good.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really haven't had a chance to explore a lot of the changes. And I was, when I saw it did come out, I happened to look up articles or something that would say, hey, here are the highlights for the photos and the camera that have been updated.
Yeah.
And like the locked, hidden, and this is something on Mac Rumors. I pulled up. It's like Lock Hidden recently deleted albums are locked with Face ID or Touch ID. That's nice, but duplicate detection would be nice, but I think it takes a while for it to go through all your photos to find it.
Yeah.
Now, one that we both agree is a major deal is the copy and paste edits.
Yes, in photos, yeah.
In photos. So that to me is, because there are so, like, I think what you mentioned before the show when we were getting started, you take 5 or 6 photos in a mm-hmm. location, and they're all similar enough that you would do the same edit on all of them.
Yep.
And now, with iOS 16, you can do your edit, click the little button on the upper right, copy it, go to the next photo, and paste it.
Yeah,
so you don't have to remember how to do, this was moved over this far, and this was moved over this, and this was moved here. So that, to me, is a big deal.
Yeah, because I used to write down all the little things that go, you know, through the different parts of the edit, just so I can do the same edit on the next one. And this makes it so much easier.
And something related to that is having an undo and redo button now.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, yay, it's there, but why did it take until iOS 16 to have an undo and redo button?
I know, right?
Something that's literally been around for 30 plus years.
Yep.
For computers. And you didn't think about having that added like in iOS 7 or 8?
Unless it's got something to do with the processing power, you know?
Like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so, because it didn't say it's only limited to so many. I think it's literally one of those things they never thought about.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, if it took this long to get copy and paste edits, can you imagine what might be coming next year? But it's a great feature. And, you know, I've been using photos for editing a lot more in the last probably 6 to 8 months. And so to have that in there is a real big bonus. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else in photos. Well,
have you noticed any changes in the automatic editing on how it's handling it, or if there's any tweaks to it?
No, I think it's pretty much the same. You mean the little magic wand?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty much the same.
Okay. I didn't know if they did any tweaks behind the scenes. We made it this way before. Now, we want to make the photos a little cooler than we did in iOS 15. So the automatic updates do blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think
that's something they wouldn't announce, though.
Yeah. No. I think one of the things I've noticed mostly about the magic wand thing is that it makes it a little brighter. And it gives it a little more contrast. And to do that, it just moves a certain number of little things like brilliance and highlights and shadows and all that. But I often go through those and tweak them just a little bit anyway, just to, to suit my own taste and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever that I've noticed gives it more. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have seen saturation and vibrance move a little bit, but they're kind of subtle. You know, they're not a whole lot.
And I think that's Apple's, and this is something Apple's been doing for years, is they don't want to have photos that just pop at you. They want realistic, which realistic also means the colors aren't as wow as.
You know, they don't want them oversaturated by any means. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's good, because I don't really want them to be overly saturated unless I do that once myself. Do
it. Yeah.
And I don't go too far with saturation on most of them. If it's something like a colorful mural on a wall or something like that, then I might go a little higher in the saturation and the vibrance or whatever. But just a scenic photo or a landscape image and that, I generally don't put too much into it as far as saturation. But speaking of lock screen widgets, one app developer or set of developers that have released theirs today is Halide. And you can put up to 4 widgets on the lock screen. So with Halide, the screenshot that they or the picture they showed on their Twitter announcement showed one for each of the cameras on a pro phone. So 0.5 times, one times, two and a half or three times, whatever phone you have. And then they've had like the macro one. But I'm sure that's pretty customizable. You could put four different things, or you could just have one widget with the Halide app, and it would just open Halide. But I think you can open it in manual, you can open it in auto. You know, I guess it's going to be very customizable. I haven't tried it yet. But it, you know, that's good, because that's what these third party developers want and need to do. And I'm sure Reflex will come out with something, and Darkroom, I mean, you know, who knows, maybe somebody like Darkroom might say, put a widget there for edit last photo or something, who knows. But I mean, the possibilities could be endless. So
yeah, and that is the nice thing, is that it is still a little limited, because you only have those four spots for small, or I think you can put two bigger ones up.
Yeah, you could put
two big ones,
or one big one and two small ones, or four small ones,
which is still limited compared to, which I'm sure, you know, Android users have been screaming, we've been able to do this for years and we can put all the ones we want on, and they're right.
Yeah.
You know, in this case, they're right. You know, they can put a lot more on there, and they can position it not in a grid, and, you know, but this is the difference between the two types of apps. So, but this is a good, nice step, and it'll be something that's useful.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking that a lot more apps will start to push for this versus other app, you know, where it may be to the point where, you know, if it was more complicated, people wouldn't use it. Now it's something easy.
Yeah.
So, and the nice thing is, if you pull down from the middle, right from the top, and get right back to the lock screen and see the information there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a nice update, and you know, well worth exploring if you have anything from an iPhone 8 or newer. So that includes the SE second generation, the 10R. I'm not sure, you know, but anyway, if you, anything that's iPhone 8 Plus or newer can get this iOS. And I mean, not everything is going to work with some of the older ones, I imagine, but
well, that's one thing I'm wondering about with the 8 and the 10, which are the same years they came out.
Yeah.
If you run the 8 or the 10, you may want to hold off a few days to see what others are doing, others experience.
Yeah.
Just because they're the oldest out there, that's kind of the edge case, where you may be starting to, it'll work, but it may cause issues because the hardware is old enough.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't upgrade, just, you know, you don't have to wait a couple days, check out Twitter, check out, you know, like 9to5 Mac, iMore, Call of Mac, to see if people start reporting problems. If they don't, go for it. But if someone's, if you get and not just one or two, more of an overwhelming feel. If a bunch of people with iPhone 8 or iPhone 10 say, oh, I upgraded and it runs so slow, why did I ever do that? I can't believe it. Just wait, because you may have 16.1 that fixes things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, and with me being the geek that I am, I was going to wait until the second beta, the second public beta, before I put the beta in my phone. In fact, I even pondered on maybe not even doing the beta run this time. But when I saw how stable it was for those who were on the developer beta, as soon as the public beta came out, bang, it went in. and it was pretty darn stable. Like, I've only had a couple of things crash on it. One was Instagram, and the other one was photos. I would open photos, and usually I'm in the recents album. And when it opened in that album, bang, it crashed. So when I open it again, then it's just in the album view, where you select the album you want to look at. And then it was fine. I go into recents, away I go. And that only happened two or three times. And that was in the early early versions of the beta. I haven't seen it for quite some time. So, I mean, but that it's a beta, right? So I wasn't too disappointed with it. I wasn't upset. It didn't ruin anything. I didn't lose any pictures. But, you know, it was just a, minor inconvenience for about a second and a half. You know, so you know, iOS 16, a lot of good stuff there. You know, go get it if you want it. And like Dave says, though, if you're on the older devices, give it a couple of days and make sure everything's kosher before you decide to update. And so now iPhone 14, we had some predictions and some guesses and things like that as to what was going to come out. Anything that you can recall, Dave, that you talked about that you were thinking might happen or hoped would happen that maybe didn't?
Yeah, the main thing is astrophotography not being really mentioned or pushed.
Yes, that was a disappointment for me too.
But I think that may be more physics. And
well, you know what? I think it's going to be very doable.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You see people like on Shane Mawson's group post from Samsung phones or Android phones.
Yeah.
And there are amazing moon pictures out there that they do. So it is doable, but they're also doing it with the 100x zoom lens on the Samsung, which that's a periscope zoom. So for Apple to do that, they need a periscope zoom, which would mean they're going to have to reconfigure the inside and maybe a new case design, which is not this year. That's a next year thing.
Yeah.
I think they're going to push for next year, or at least in the Pro. And this may be necessity this year that there's a bigger gap between the Pro and the non-Pro. Because if you remember with the 13 Pro and non-Pro, the only heavy difference, the display was different because of ProMotion and not ProMotion. Most people probably won't notice it. You know, it's kind of like the difference with audio. Most people, you know, by the time they're past 30 or 40 or 50, you're not noticing this tweaked audio difference. Most people have, you know, most people over 10 wear glasses, I think, or have some kind of correction. You're not going to notice the minute little difference per se in screen resolution. But the big difference between the Pro and non-Pro was the zoom lens, a little better ultra wide lens. At least for the 13 and the LiDAR. But other than that, there wasn't a lot of difference. This year, there's a major difference.
Major
difference. So I don't know if they're going to do that going forward, where the 15 will have, be an updated 14, but not have earth-shattering, and the Pro will be your earth-shattering. We have a new periscope lens that'll allow you to take a picture of the moon that looks like this. And you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this with the Pro only.
Yeah, I think that's where Apple is starting to make that differentiation, because what they're looking at is, and this is only my thinking, is that the Pro is going to be for people who actually do professional things with the device and maybe even just make money with it, whereas the non-Pro iPhones are for the people that the 90%, you know, the 90-90 thing. They keep 90% of the people happy 90% of the time. Whereas there's the pros who are the 10 and the 10. You know, they're 10% of the people that Apple will keep happy 10% of the time. And, you know, I think that's the gap seems to be getting a little bigger between those two.
Now the price gap isn't any bigger, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
They kept the prices the same, which is a very good thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you could even say that the price of the Apple Watch Ultra, which is, the Apple Watch Ultra podcast, that's a whole nother show. But the pricing on that, I thought, was very, very good.
Oh, that was amazing.
$799 US for that thing. That is amazing. And I would love to have that, but I know I won't, because I don't get out and do the things that thing is made for people who do that sort of thing. But,
like I said, with the 14, I say the 14 main, and this is a pet peeve of mine, and I've heard it on a few other podcasts, not necessarily to shout down the iPhone Photo Team podcast, but being somewhat, you know, both of them have iPhone 13 Pros. Mm-hmm. And then saying, oh, I'm kind of disappointed in the 14. It really isn't making a huge step up. That is true, but the majority of people do not upgrade year to year unless you're on the upgrade plan.
Yeah.
Through you know, through carrier, through Apple, you're upgrading every 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So if you have an iPhone 10 or 11 and you want to go to the 14 Pro because your phone is 4 years old, 5 years old, whatever, and it's time, you're going to get your mind blown because of the step-up difference. Yeah, if your phone's a year old, honestly, don't upgrade. It's not worth it. I mean, literally, the biggest difference for me between the 13 Pro and the 14, yeah, the sensor's bigger. They're no longer calling it the ultra-wide, wide, and telephoto. They're calling it the main lens.
Yeah.
And then you have an ultra-wide and a telephoto.
Yeah.
Which is smart because you want people thinking using that main one as your main camera and the other two for outlying situations.
Well, plus with the main, you have on the pros, you have the two different focal lengths.
Right. Right. And you have the ability to do a 2X because now they're just saying, oh, we're just going to use these pixels in the middle.
Yep. Yep.
And give you a 2X. So it is even though it's a crop, it's 100% crop, not cropping and expanding out pixels. You're using pixels.
You're still getting a 12 megapixel file.
Right, right.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. And the one thing I'm interested when you get your 14 Pro,
mm-hmm.
is to do a 48 megapixel Pro RAW photo and to see, because like I think you mentioned this in the show last week, the image they showed that was taken and blown up was a studio canvas 4-foot by 4-foot image.
Yeah.
You know, now admittedly, huge. We were all viewing that on our computers or on our phones or iPads or however you watch the keynote. So it's really hard to look at it. You know,
yeah.
I want to see someone actually take a photo. Both maybe a photo where it is perfect conditions and another one where it's not so perfect conditions, and then say, okay, I want to blow this up to 4-foot by 4-foot. And at what distance away from that giant canvas do you have to be for it to look good?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because it may be, hey, this is great if you have a giant, you know, you live in one of these giant houses where you put the piece of wall, puts a piece of art up, you know, let's say you have, the ceilings.
Like a cathedral ceiling?
Cathedral ceiling. So you're putting a piece of art up there, but no one's getting within 15 foot of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it looks great. And you need something that's that large. But if you, it's kind of like a big screen TV, you get, you know, for a 4K display, if you're within 2-3 feet of a 4K display, it's going to start, it doesn't look as good as if you're 8 to 10 feet away.
Right.
Is that true with these photos? I don't know. That's what I'm curious to see is they're saying you can take this, blow it up, put a massive picture up. And these people are just kind of sitting like, you know, 5 feet.
Yeah, it was like it was in a museum or something. Right. Yeah.
Can you do that without, and I'm really curious, can you do that with an unedited photo? Not taking a photo, throwing it in Lightroom or throwing it in Polar, or, you know, whatever you use for editing, you know, and do whatever edit you do on and then print it out. But can you take a 48 megapixel and do minimal editing in the Photos app or no editing?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it look when it's that big?
I hope to let
you
know.
To see. Yeah. And like I said, and now admittedly, this will not be a cheap experiment because anytime you print out something that's that large, it gets pricey.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
unless you're good friends with someone who has a photo printer and you're to do it for you to experiment.
Yeah. 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 The nice thing about the 48 megapixel is that it's pro raw. So you're going to be getting that imaging pipeline and the new photonic engine, which is a lot of the stuff like deep fusion and stuff like that is done on the uncompressed, uncompressed file data or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it goes through the rest of it. So I honestly think that the full res 48 megapixel files are going to look really good.
Yeah.
And, I find with a lot of the pro raw stuff I shoot now, I don't have to do a whole lot to them.
Right.
It just depends on the conditions.
Because it does have the built-in magic built into it versus a true raw.
Yeah. And, I saw screenshots of these things that people were putting on their review videos and stuff. And they're like 4,064 or 4,064 by whatever, like 8,048 or whatever. So there's a lot of resolution there to play with in post and in printing. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff that we can talk about with the iPhone 14. What we'll probably do is do a little bit at a time as we go forward here, because it would take hours to mention everything. But as far as my ordering experience went, because I remember I asked you about this with your 13.
Yeah.
For me, in Eastern time zone, the App Store or the Apple Store opened at 8 o'clock in the morning, or it was supposed to. So I kept hitting it and it said, oh, we'll be right back or whatever. And I'd force close it. And I did it on the phone. So I'd open it again. And finally, at about 1.5 minutes after 8, it was available. So I had pre-selected the phone I wanted. So what I'm getting is the 14 Pro Max and the 256 gigabyte, which is the same as what I have now. And I find that's fine. I'm going to be very selective with the 48 megapixel pictures that I take.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
But so I had that pre-selected. All I had to do was make sure I selected trade-in, because I'm trading in my 12 Pro Max unless somebody comes along and buys it before then. But and then I just added Apple Care. And I was going to get the space black, but you know what? I'm going with the purple. But just because it's different, it's not, but the space black is nice and dark. Halide retweeted some pictures today of somebody who put pictures from they were at the iPhone event in the hands-on area, and they put pictures of the space black on there, and it is really nice and dark. But I just like the purple. My wife has a purple iPhone 12, and I thought, you know what? Why not be a couple with our phones? And I'll get a purple one. But anyway, I was checked out by, I'll bet you it took me 45 seconds, and I was checked out. So that was the same experience I had with the 12 Pro Max, and it was here on launch day. So anything that I've looked at in the processing and the updated information on the store with regards to the order, it says it's going to be here on Friday. So I should have it by on Friday. And Shane Mostyn's live YouTube stream is on Friday, and I'm going to be on there.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to have it
by that time.
And if it comes in before... Now,
is this going to be Friday afternoon again?
Yes, Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so hopefully you definitely have it by then.
So if I do, I'm not even... If it comes before the live starts at 4, I'm not going to open it. I'm going to do a live unboxing on his broadcast. So now, that's going to be fun.
I'm assuming Shane bought one, because that's his job.
I don't know if he'll get it right away, just because there's... logistics of getting one to him in where he is in Australia.
Well, I just know that I don't know if they still do it or not, but iFixit, when the new iPhones come out, they work with people in Australia to get it Friday a.m. Australian time, which is
like 12 hours ahead of us.
It's like 12 hours ahead. Yeah.
Yep.
So they'll have it like very first thing, and then they somehow rush it. I think the iFixit people actually have a thing in Australia, so they get it and they immediately tear it, which always is a, I know they do it for the betterment of the community, but it's always rough to see someone take this, you know,
yeah,
thousands of dollar device and say, yeah, we're just going to tear it apart and see what's on the inside.
Yeah. 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 It's a shame that they do that. What really pisses me off is the people that do drop tests and they just drop them just for the fun of it. Yeah. Those are the ones that don't deserve to have one.
I'm willing to say the iFixit people that you do get a lot of information and it is a huge help, but you're right. I mean, the people are like, hey, let's see if I can break this or not. Like,
yeah. That's not for the good of science at all. That's just being stupid.
Yeah.
But so my case, I ordered purple leather case for it and it should be here tomorrow. Okay. And, you know, everything's going just like it did 2 years ago with the 12 Pro Max.
Nice and smooth.
You know,
nice
the case
smooth.
Should be here a few days ahead. And then the iPhone came on the Friday, right when it was supposed to.
Are you thinking about getting a case for any external lenses, or are you not going to use them for this time?
I'm definitely not going with Moment because I was just reading on, I think it was on Shane Mostyn's Facebook group, the Bloody Legends group, where someone is getting the 14 and apparently Moment has 14 cases, but the insert part around the camera array, you know, you could pop out the lens attachment thing and just put in a little ring around there. So it's interchangeable that way. They're not going to have their mounts ready until December, I think. But they'll get you a 3D printed mount system that you pay for shipping. And then when the real thing comes out, you have to buy it and pay for shipping. Something like this anyway.
It's kind of not good.
Yeah. I mean, I still want to use my macro lenses. So because they're both the same mount, from the one from Strumann and the one from Reflex, whoever comes out with a case first that fits that 17 millimeter screw mount, I will get one of those. But other than that, I'm not getting any more cases and whatnot. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm terrible for getting two or three or four cases over the years, and it's just too much stuff collecting up. I'm really going to try to be disciplined this time. I don't need an Otterbox or anything like that. it just gets to be too much. So, I mean, I've got stuff on my 10S Max that I don't even use.
Yeah.
So one of these days I'm going to have to find a way to unload them. But it was a good ordering experience. A friend of mine was texting me and he said he couldn't get into the Apple store until 8 minutes after. So I don't know what that does for his order and, you know, the delivery date. But I know there was also issues where some people had made orders and they went through as double orders for some reason. And then Apple had to go and, you know, delete these double orders, and that pushed delivery dates back and all this stuff. So, I mean, I'm hoping that my pre-order stays exactly the way it is. And everything's looking just like it did 2 years ago. So I have all the faith in the world that it's going to be here on Friday. So next weekend is going to be a fun weekend.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. Now, one thing to remember for people this is going to make me sound like an Apple apologist. There are tens of millions of phones that were ordered so far. I mean, and so if you hear, you know, 5, 10, 50, even 100 people have issues worldwide.
Yeah.
Or even 1,000. It is such a, you know, Apple could literally say, we got 99% of our orders right, and they still could be thousands of wrong orders.
Yeah.
So, and this sounds like an apologist, but you can't do, not everything works 100%. You know?
Yeah.
And this
it's a logistical nightmare.
It is. It is. And especially when you get crunched all at once. I mean, it'd be hard to keep that up as a consistent, but they just having that huge spike when it opens up, and then the slow tails, it starts to taper off to where, you know, computer systems aren't crunched and things aren't being changed, and they have to, because I know, because of the way my company works, and, you know, when new things come out or an event, hey, registration's open and go. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, our systems aren't ready for, our systems are used to a cert load. And if it's five times the level, you can't just ramp up in a half a second to five times.
You know?
Or things.
And that's why they stagger things.
Exactly.
Right. Like they did the Apple Watch pre-order on the day of the keynote. Then they did the iPhone pre-order on the Friday. Then they did iOS release and watchOS release today. And, you know, the iPad OS update and the Mac OS update are going to be later down the road. I mean, if they had tried to do everything at once, just imagine the server overload.
It'd be a giant mess. So,
it would. Yeah. So,
I'm glad everything's going smooth for you so far.
Yeah, so far. I mean, knock on wood, and I'm tapping my head. So, you know, we're going to continue to give updates on the phone, you know, in the future episodes as I try things and whatnot. You know, I'll probably try to include screenshots that you can, that we'll put in the podcast app so that you can see as we go forward and different things and whatnot. So now we're going to take a quick look at some recent photos. And I don't know if we haven't had a chance to do this.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So we're going to go a little bit differently this time. Usually I let you go first out of the goodness of my heart, but I'm going to be greedy this time. Ooh. And I'm going to go first because I am really looking forward to one of yours. And I'll get mine out of the way first.
Okay.
So my first one is a black and white. Now, this, I did this in color and I thought it looked really nice because it was a nice blue sky. The water was nice and blue and everything else. But someone on Glass, and I think it was Anna Strauss, who I mentioned a couple of shows ago, she said this would look really good in black and white. So I did a couple of different edits, and the app that I used for this one was Dramatic Black and White. And I've just selected one of the presets. I really didn't play around with it too much, other than I gave it a very, very, very slight vignette, and I added some grain. And it's for those listening who can't see their phone right now to take a look at it. It's a shoreline shot looking out into the, you'd almost think it's an ocean. It's that, you know, looks that vast, but it's just from the local lake. No, actually it's the bay, Georgian Bay. Georgian Bay goes up around this peninsula and then runs into Lake Huron out of the Great Lakes. So there's water in a lot of places around here, but it's a dead tree. That's all it is a dead tree. And it's just standing there, hardly any branches left on it. And you can see the roots, you know, sticking out of the ground. And there's some stones and stuff on the ground, but it looks really cool in black and white, I thought, after Anna's suggestion. And I shot it with the ultra wide. And with the ultra wide camera, if you tilt it up or down too far, you will see some curvature on the horizon line. So I tried to keep the horizon pretty close to center so that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look warped or anything. And I kind of think I got it to do what I wanted it to do there. But, you know, it's just a kind of like a high contrast black and white of this dead tree.
No, it's striking. Actually, if you didn't know that was water, it almost looks like sand dunes.
Yeah.
You know, like an old west scene where, you know, this is the dying tree as you go right before you go across the great desert.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think if the horizon wasn't so flat, you could probably get away with seeing it as sand. But yeah, I never thought of that.
So yeah, that it's a really striking photo, and I love just a little bit of grain that's in it.
Yeah, I didn't want to overdo
texture.
It.
Right, and it's just enough to give it a nice texture. And like I said, this is definitely perfect for black and white.
Yeah, it was a clear day. The sun was shining bright. It was not exactly early in the day. It was kind of early to mid afternoon. So the shadows were kind of harsh, mm-hmm. but the black and white kind of calms that down a little bit. Yeah. So yeah, it was a great opportunity to try something different in my editing. That's for sure. So the second one. I don't do many sunrise photos because I'm not a morning person, but when I get off work in the morning, this time of year is when it's getting, you know, the sunset has just come. It was just up over the horizon, and it was a mild day, a warm day, but the fog, there was a lot of fog around, and I thought, oh, I'm going for a little drive to see what I could find. And this field, just on the outskirts of the town that I live in, I drove away from the sun, but I'm looking in the mirror as I was driving, and I thought, I got to turn around and see what this looks like. So I turned around and went back up the road again, and I found this field with the low-lying fog and the warm sun shining through it, casting shadows of the trees and stuff like that. I just thought that looks so cool. So this one here, I don't know if it was with the telephoto or the wide. Let me see if I can get that information. But anyway, I did edit this one a little bit, and forgive me, I'm just looking at the data again.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I can't find it. I'm looking in preview, and okay, it was f2.2, so this was the telephoto. Okay, which is probably my favorite camera to use on the 12 Pro Max. But anyway, yeah, I did warm it up a little bit as far as color temperature goes, just to give it that extra warmth and feeling in it, because the sky, as you can see, the sky even has a little gold coloring to it near the horizon. But but yeah, other than that, a little bit of saturation, my usual saturation, contrast, things like that. But I was late getting home. I was like a half hour late getting home from work on this morning, because I stopped at a few different places.
Worked out that way, because yeah, like I said, just that golden glow is and that fog just being right there.
Yeah. Now looking at this, Dave, real quick, do you think I should have cropped a little off the bottom, or do you think that's all right? Because that, the trees and everything is right kind of in the center of the frame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, to me, the if you're going to crop anything, I would crop sky, because once you're beyond the horizon, We're both using our hand to kind of crop the photo here to see. But if you look at the top, the blue, once you get beyond the top of the treetops, it's kind of a blue gradient, mm-hmm. but the ground has a lot more interest going on.
Yeah, that's
with the way the leaves and the top of the grass are just getting hit with the light versus the, if you crop that off, yeah, you'll get a, to me, you kind of crop off some of the interest. I would maybe a little bit from the top, maybe a little bit from the bottom, but more from the top. If you wanted to go more like a widescreen shot.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought that, you know, the sky is basically negative space, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In this one, sometimes you get, you know, the beautiful gradient colors going all the way up. But once you get beyond the top of the tree and start just going blue, it just kind of stays blue. So not a lot of dynamic going on there. Now, I mean, the negative there will help pull the eye down. But if you're trying to have more of an impact, you know, just cutting off a little bit more of the sky, maybe the bottom little bit here where, you know, you don't have the solid carpeting of light, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So cutting a little bit there, you get a widescreen shot, and that may have a little bit more of an impact there too.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. That's some pretty good advice. And, you know, it's always good to ask for a little bit of a critique on mm-hmm. something, because I never would have thought of taking a bit off the sky because of the lack of interest in the sky compared to the foreground. So yeah, that's some very good points. My third one is a little place that I love to go shoot. It's a river that's not too far from my favorite waterfall, but I went here with a purpose this time, and I'm showing you half of my experiment. And this is, so I bought a filter, an ND filter from Reflex, and I wanted to see, okay, so with Reflex, it has long exposure. And I wanted to see if there was any benefit to using a filter over just the app, because the app can do it. So is there a benefit to using the filter, an ND filter, when doing a long exposure in an app that can already do it? And I found that there is. And you won't be able to see it here, but I am writing a blog post about it that I'm going to post at some point to show the difference between a shot with the same length of time. And I think with this one, it was 15 seconds or something like that. And with the same ISO, and then with and without the filter. And with the filter, the shutter speed was down to, I think, 1/22nd of a second. Without the filter, the shutter speed went up to 1/77th of a second. And what the difference there is, so as everybody probably knows, if you don't, you will when I'm done talking here, these long exposures from the iPhone, or from any phone really, other than there's some Android phones that can give you a 30-second shot, but with the iPhone, it takes a number of photos and stacks it over top. It does photo stacking and builds the image all within this process. Like, it's like a live photo, it does the same. And with the shutter speed being so considerably slower when you have the filter on, it gives you a smoother look in the water. And so the same image taken without the filter, the water looks a little choppier, almost like that braided effect that you see sometimes in these things.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the nice thing about Reflex being a manual camera app, where you can adjust the, you know, certain things in the settings. But this one here, it's a rocky scene with the river and that, and the water flow is kind of minimal really at this one part of the river. Sometimes these rocks are just completely covered with water, but in this case, the river is just flowing through a little spot here. I used the telephoto camera again, and the sun was shining through some trees, and I think it turned out great. So look for a blog post from me. I'll be putting it out there, tweeting it and whatever, where I illustrate the difference between the two pictures. So this was a, I think it's a cool image, but there's a purpose behind going out and getting this one. So now we are going to go to yours, Dave.
Okay.
And we'll start with the cityscape. Is that okay?
Yeah. Now, let me know which one you're pulling up, because...
Not the one with the people.
Okay. That's why I wanted to make sure. Because the other one also has a cityscape in it too.
Yeah, it does too, yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so this is actually... what you're seeing here in the main part of the image is the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
They actually took over an old existing hospital. If you look on the left, where some of the high rise areas, the high rise buildings on the left are, there are some of the buildings that have been around, and they just basically gutted some of them, repurposed. Mm-hmm. And just use those. But on the right, where the little more colorful part of is, that's a newer building.
Okay.
So not too long, well, actually, it's been a little bit of time ago, but they moved the Children's Hospital from the Oakland section of Pittsburgh, where a lot of the other hospitals are, and took over the old, this old St. St. Joseph's Hospital that's in the Lawrenceville neighborhood. So it's not a large distance, it's just a couple miles. But where Oakland is pretty much universities and hospitals and college students, and, you know, the businesses which accompany all that stuff. Lawrenceville is, well, was a lot, at one time it was working class neighborhood that recently a lot of people have come in, and a lot of these older buildings in the foreground. Some of them are, you know, duplexes, some are more row housing like. A lot of people come in and start to really jack up the prices here. So, but I just like the contrast of, you know, they have the high rise hospitals in the background, and you have these low working class buildings and just a neighborhood living area, where a lot of newer development, you don't have this mixing of, you know, like a neighborhood hospital, where, you know, now they're saying, well, we want to build our new facility way out here in the middle of nowhere, where it's not part of the community, where this is literally across the street from just housing. So I like the contrast. And this is one where the sky is the sky. This is not one of those surprise. It was strong. No, this was actually taken from the hospice my mother-in-law was in. It had a family lounge area, and this was the view from the family lounge area. So this was just, you know, looking out and saying, "Oh, that." And I did edit this in Polar because, you know, taking through. And the hospice was actually an old hotel that was taken over and repurposed. So it's an older building. So, you know, it's old glass. So it was a little dingy. So I had to, you know, use the dehaze to, you know, brighten it up and clear it up a little bit. But other than that, not a lot of editing in that image.
Yeah, it looks like it was taken right from outside.
Yeah. Yeah. It did a good job cleaning it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you live in a place where you got some pretty cool stuff like around the city, like with the bridges and the historical stuff. And it just makes me wish I kind of lived closer to a bigger city. but, you know, like, you know, cityscapes like that, it's,
right.
You know, and down in the bottom right, that row of houses kind of sort of almost makes me think of what was that TV show? Full House?
Yeah,
you know that strip of houses in San Francisco. It kind of makes me think of that. So I mean, you know, that's some history and whatnot. Or like a historical aspect of where this is.
Mm-hmm. And similar to that area, this is, you know, built on a hill where, if you notice from below, where, you know, a second story. You know, like if you look on the far right where the one house that is a kind of a duplex where it's first story porches, if you kind of go straight across.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the left of the image, that's a second story level.
Yeah. 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 It's a pretty good view.
Yeah.
Your second shot, I think I know what you were doing when you took this.
Yep. This was during the Steelers 5K race. And so the way this race worked was you started outside the stadium, ran basically upriver, turned around, and finished inside the stadium. And so this is a morning race, so you're running east here. And this, again, in terms of an advantage of mobile photography, I did not stop to take this photo. So I just pulled the camera out of my pocket. Phone/camera, I keep calling the camera.
Yeah,
I just pulled it out of my pocket, held it up with both hands. Of course, I'm looking in the sun, so I'm kind of limited on what I can see. Plus, I don't want to run into anybody. And just took like 3 or 4 pictures kind of quick. And like I said, didn't stop, didn't slow down, and then shoved it back in my pocket again.
And that very similar to what that gentleman on the right, lower right of the screen is doing. He's got his phone out and holding it up.
And just because of the image going on here, it's like, just like the way the sun was right behind the clouds and the way the sky was, and you had the city just off to your right there. Yeah. And just the group of people doing, you know, running in mass like this. It was just, I thought it was just a really neat image to get a photo of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of people in there too. And the nice thing about it is they're all facing away from you. So you don't have to run around getting release forms and everything.
Well, one thing to remember, and I know half kidding, but if you're in public, you do not, at least in the US, you do not have a true right to privacy if you're doing something in public. So if you're in public, you do not assume that. So if someone takes a picture of you while you're on the street and they're not zooming in on you, you're just happen to be out there in public, you're fair game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now I did like that. Yeah. Right. I mean, now one thing I tried to do and failed due to my own stupidity, using the double shot app from Filmic.
Oh, right.
I wanted, because you're finishing in the stadium, you're literally running up to the stadium, running into the ramp, running down the ramp, and finishing on the sideline of the football stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to do a video of not only, you know, what I see running down, but of me while I'm running. So you could see both images at the same time.
Yeah.
And I had it set up beforehand. I had picture set up. All I had to do was pull out the phone, hold it up, hit the button, and I could take the video while I'm running, just holding it up while I'm running. And I thought I did that. I was talking while I was running, going down, you know, trying to get a somewhat still shot as I'm holding the camera up. I go across the finish line. I mean, literally, when you come in the stadium, they have the big scoreboard that you're facing, and they have a video on the scoreboard, the finish line, so you're kind of watching yourself finish. You're right at the 50-yard line, right on the sideline. Go. I finish. I hit the button on the phone to stop recording, I thought, and then starts recording.
Yeah.
So somehow I forgot to hit the record button when I started on the outside of the stadium.
Oh, man.
So it was like, I can't believe I did that. But minor. But yeah, so I actually took a few pictures during the race. This was, you know, in my mind, this was going to be just a fun race. Not like I was aiming for a particular time. And just this race, the way it goes, you get some kind of interesting views along the way. And the weather was nice too. The weather was nice, luckily.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
And there was a few. I think there was like, it was just under 2,000 people, I think, in the race. And
that's a fair number.
Yep. And if you look very closely, straight ahead, there is the marker, and I think it says 13 minute per mile pace.
Oh yeah.
Because they do have, the nice thing is they do have pacers, so you know what pace you're going, so you can make sure you're not going too quick or too slow, and you're used to, you know, like, oh, I know I can do this, so they have people run with you.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing, other than trying to guess on your own.
Yeah. Alrighty. That's cool. And for your third one, now this one, I am really excited to hear the story behind this, because this to me is the best picture I have ever seen from you. I just absolutely love this shot. This is so crazy good. And so it's looks like a Chevy Bel Air.
Yeah.
Is it a Cadillac?
No, it's a Cadillac. No, that's a Cadillac.
Okay, yeah.
Cadillac. That's a Cadillac. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is so freaking cool looking.
Yeah.
Let's hear the story behind this one.
This was actually going out for breakfast with Ruth and her dad, and left the restaurant. And I don't know if there was a classic car convention nearby or something going on. This car just happened to be parked outside the restaurant. And the camera angle that I would have been able to take from the sidewalk had a giant pole, which would have been right in the middle of the shot.
Oh, yeah.
So I watched behind me very carefully, got out on the street, took the photo, crouched down so I can get a lower angle there.
And it worked so well. Yeah,
and took it in portrait mode.
Oh, okay.
So then I took it, imported it in the photo room. Well, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I went into Polar first to work on the clouds to have a little more definition in the background.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted I tried it first, trying to isolate the car and the background. I just wanted a little bit more definition in the mm-hmm. background. So went into Polar, added a little definition to the sky, so you get a little bit of a streak there. And then went into photo room. And that app does a great job with bringing out your subject.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it do its thing. And it has one that's called color. Let me actually get it. It's called color. Waiting for it to load. Let me get back to here real quick, because I want to make sure I'm using the right thing here. It was called, where's it at? It recently used Color Splash.
Oh, okay.
Normally that's used for, you know, your main thing in color and everything else in black and white.
Yeah.
But they have different options though. One is a sepia, which looked interesting, but mm-hmm. they also have one where it matches the tone of the main subject.
Oh, nice.
So it kind of copied the blue teal color of the car. And it applied like a sheen of blue-green to the background.
Mm-hmm.
So it's toned. So the background, even though it's in front of it, it's not overly contrasted. And then I'm trying to remember if I don't know if I did any additional editing after that or not. It was very minor if I did. So it was pretty much work on the photo in Polar. Use the photo room to do the background edit and pop the front. And that's pretty much it.
Well, it turned out so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love the way that the background and the car all, you know, blend together with the coloring and mm-hmm. that. I mean, the green bushes that are off in the right on the right hand side, mm-hmm. they have that teal colored tone to it. It's just a really, really nice monotone image. I like that the reflection in the front bumper retains the actual color of the pavement, which kind of gives it some contrast,
right.
You know, and keeps it interesting. And the Cadillac emblem on the front of the car, it keeps its original colors too. Like you see some red and gold in there. And I mean, this is just so cool, man. I can't get over it. And do I have your permission to use this as my wallpaper?
Oh yeah, no problem at all. Cool.
That's awesome.
If you notice the as we're looking towards the car, the right light hood, if you will. I don't want to call it the bumper, but the hood over the lights.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of bleed through there. And same thing with on the hood, the two chrome bins on the front. There's a little bit that, because I think I did put a little bit of a motion streak in the background. So that's the blend in there.
Yeah, because even the road looks like it's got motion in it going mm-hmm. sideways, but the car is stationary. And that too adds to the whole feel of the image and the composition and everything. So yeah, this is really, really cool.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, it was one of those just tapping upon it. And this is also where, you know, sneaker zoom, if you will, works. Just kind of watching behind me to make sure no one can't. Luckily, this is on an access road, not a main road.
Right.
So it isn't that busy. So I was able to get out. And this is the 1X lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
With 13, I think with the 12, you can use the 3X or in your case, the 2.5X for portrait also.
Right.
I tried to do that, but I had to get so far away. It just didn't look right.
But this works really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And this kind of, because doing the 1X, it really, that front kind of bulbouses out at you.
Yeah.
And then tapers back to the back.
Now, did you kind of pre-visualize this final image when you took this shot, or did you just kind of play around with it?
I just played around with it. I didn't even know that it had the color pop.
Oh, yeah.
In Photo Room.
Okay.
And it didn't have the color matching.
Right.
I didn't know that was even there. And so I started to play around. I knew the car looked cool, and I knew I wanted the portrait.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily want to... The rest of it were, the background being, just because I knew I wanted that separation. I know Photo Room does a good job. I knew I wanted to go in that direction, but the final image here was not, I didn't have that in my head to start.
Yeah. Well, okay, kids, it just goes to show you, play around with your photo apps because something good can come
most
out
definitely.
Of it.
Most
and
definitely.
And this is, in my honest opinion, I mean, I haven't seen every photo you've taken, Dave, but to me, this is the best one ever. It's really cool. I just love this one so much. So there you go. There you have it, folks. Dave's best photo ever.
And I'm shutting it down after that.
Yeah. Yep. There's no point. You're done. So, well, that's cool. All right. Well, I think we'll call it a night, Dave. This has been a little bit of a longer episode, but we've had some things to catch up on, and we haven't done a regular one like this for a while. So, stay tuned in the next few episodes, folks, for more iPhone 14 stuff. And Dave could beat this for his recent photos. Yes.
Well, and by the time the next show comes out, you'll definitely have your 14 Pro by.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be able to talk about
some information that way.
Yeah. And I'll be sending you some stuff as I try things so that you can see them firsthand and whatnot. And, we'll develop our repertoire as we go.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Well, tell folks where they could find you.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Vero under ProfPod. And on TikTok as ProfProdPGH and Facebook as Dave Podner Jr.
All righty. You can find me on Twitter at @Macmillan_photo, Instagram, the terrible, at Macmillan Photo. You can find me on Vero. My username is Macmillan. On Glass, my username is Greg. But all my other stuff, online links, could be found at about.me/Macmillan. And that's it for tonight. And thanks, Dave, for the great conversation and the absolute amazing wallpaper. We'll see everybody on the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.